Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the unification principle point of view. We're very happy to welcome in our studio here Tamara Thompson today. And our topic is absolute sexual ethics is the core of civil society and its breakdown causes the breakdown of society. So please introduce yourself, Tamara.
I'm Tamara Thompson. I am a political advocate and the Jefferson County, West Virginia local chapter leader of Urban Life Training.
Great. Okay, I'd like to start by sharing a few slides to kick off our discussion on absolute sexual ethics. So here's the premise for our discussion, or for discussion. To break the generational cycle of outside of wedlock birth, we need a revolution of abstinence-centered education. Parents should present the expectation of sexual abstinence for marriage to their children, regardless of whether or not they abstain themselves. They should think about what is best for their children's future and speak honestly about their own situation. School and community-based programs such as Urban Life Training can back up parents in making this revolution. In one generation, this can break the cycle of outside of wedlock births and all of the related personal and societal consequences. So in West Virginia, 47% of children are born outside of marriage. We see how it's increased from about 5 to 10% up to about 1975 to about 50% now. Teaching sexual abstinence before marriage is integrally related to creating a safe and healthy environment for our children. In ninth grade, about 2 in 10 students have had sexual intercourse. This is nationally, but similar in each state. In 12th grade, about 6 in 10 students have had sexual intercourse. So as a parent or a grandparent sending your children, you know, or your grandchildren are going to school or whatever the case is, that's extremely concerning that, you know, over half of students by the time they graduate have had sex. None of the parents that I talk to want that, but yet that's the case. Additionally, more than 1 in 10 students in high school have experienced sexual dating violence. Our mission at Urban Life Training is, Urban Life Training raises youth leaders to develop good character and to model and teach about the benefits of sexual abstinence in preparation for marriage and successful family formation. We provide directive abstinence-centered health education through our community network of trained parents and community leaders. Urban Life Training chapters carry out the Urban Life Training mission in their local areas. So I'd like to share a quote, a couple quotes from scripture. This is from Reverend Sun Myung Moon. If you get the daily inspiration, you'll, you know, recognize me sending those scriptures. So I check that out too. So this is from the Family Root in Absolute Sexual Ethics, which is the model for God's absolute peace and ideal in the global kingdom. Respected leaders from around the world, what do you think is God's ultimate purpose for creating human beings? It is to experience joy through relating with ideal families filled with true love. What does an ideal family look like? When God first created human beings, he made Adam, representing all men, and Eve, representing all women, with the intention that they become owners of true love. Then what was the quickest way for them to cultivate a character of true love? Simply put, it was to secure a parent-child relationship with God, whereby they could live in the tenets of God as their father and form a model family, embodying God's ideal of peace. They were to have followed the path of living as one family with God, experiencing joy eternally. God created Adam and Eve and installed them as the first human ancestors of humankind to form the model family and establish the ideal of peace. He committed himself completely to raising them as a son and daughter who were to be encapsulations of the entire cosmos, mediators between the spiritual and physical worlds and lords of creation, and who would be joined with him through true love, true life, and true lineage. Ladies and gentlemen, it was necessary for Adam and Eve to establish a model ideal family of peace. God, the absolute being, created human beings as his children in order to instill in them absolute values on the basis of an absolute standard. Thus, human beings must follow the way of that absolute standard in keeping with the demands of the heavenly path. This means we must follow our destined life course in order to attend God, the absolute being, as our parent. In other words, for people to perfect themselves in resemblance of God and attain the stature of people of character, who can be called sons and daughters of the absolute being, they must follow the path based on the absolute standard God has determined. The essence of this path is the standard of absolute sexual purity. The first stage is to maintain absolute sexual purity prior to getting married. After we're born, we go through a process of growth. We pass through infancy and childhood in this very safe and secure environment, embrace our parents' love and protection. We then enter the time of adolescence, which signals the start of a new and dynamic life as we forge relationships on a totally new level with those around us, as well as with all things of creation. This is the moment when we begin to travel the path to become an absolute human being, internally through the perfection of our character and externally by reaching adulthood. Yet at this time, there's an absolute requirement that people must fulfill no matter who they are. This is a requirement of maintaining their purity, which is the model of absolute sexual morality for human beings. God gave it to his children as their destined responsibility and duty to be carried out in order to fulfill the ideal of creation. This heavenly path is thus the way toward perfecting the model of absoluteness and conjugal love. So this is the success formula that we share in our program. To avoid poverty, graduate from high school, get a full-time job, and wait until 21 and married before having children. If you do all of those things, there's a 2% chance that you will live in poverty. But if you don't do any of them, there's a 74% chance. So that's quite striking.
It's staggering.
It sure is. So it's a simple principle. And especially catching my attention, of course, you should graduate and have a full-time job. But wait until 21 and married before having children. But the question, of course, is, are we teaching that to our youth? So I see a two-tiered solution to the problem of, you know, the breakdown of sexual ethics or absolute sexual ethics. One, teach sexual abstinence for marriage and fidelity within marriage to our children. And two, create a movement of marriage as God-centered. Union Station Love is a matching site where singles who practice sexual abstinence before marriage or have returned to sexual abstinence before marriage can find a marriage partner. And that is a project of Urban Life Training. So you can check that out, unionstation.love. That's our screenshot of our site. And we also have included now the Relationship Intelligence course over there. So you can also, and we're adding another new course too, as well as preparation for blessed marriage. So that's pretty cool. All right, so that's our slide deck, and now we're going to get into our discussion. So with that stimulating slide deck, we want to discuss absolute sexual ethics is the core of civil society, and its breakdown caused the breakdown of society. And I think there's a lot of food for thought there. Do you have some thoughts initially, Tamara?
Well, absolutely. I mean, some of those statistics were absolutely staggering. The 6 out of 10 children that, and let's be honest, they're children.
Right.
They're not adults, have had sexual intercourse before graduation. That is, to any parent, should be mind-boggling. And if we stop and think about it rationally, it's really been groomed into our children's head that this overt sexual behavior is normalized, that it's acceptable. And then we're teaching, instead of abstinence, birth control. And I don't know about you, but my children coming home from school talking about Plan B so they can have haphazard sex with just anybody that they meet in high school was mind-blowing to me. It was shocking to the heart and soul. And that's just something that we definitely, to have successful, self-respecting youth, need to completely reconsider the approach of that. That should not be something that's reinforced in our schools at all.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this isn't something I think you hear, unless you're in the, you know, nonprofit business like I am, and that's your focus. I don't think it's, I mean, I don't even know if most parents are aware of that. I guess they're aware of it to some extent, but are they really? I mean, I don't know.
Richard, I was not aware of that until my son came home from his school, Washington High School, here in Jefferson County, and we were having a discussion, and he says, oh, you can just take the Plan B pill. And I had absolutely no idea what that was. And I said, what is that? And he says, well, our school taught us in sex ed that we can just take the Plan B pill. And I said, you mean if you get someone pregnant, you can take a pill? And he said, yeah, it's like an abortion pill. So if my friend gets somebody knocked up, I'll just tell him, go get a Plan B. Like, it had, in his mind, the way it was taught to him, had no moral consequences, no physical consequences. It was completely normalized to him. And let's be honest, that is an abortion. It's an abortion.
That's right.
It is a medically induced abortion that will alter the person who takes that pill. It will alter their physiological being, not to mention the cost that they're paying with their conscience and their soul. And those things need to be considered. They're not to be taken lightly, you know? So that to me is something that's completely unacceptable. And I, as a parent, was absolutely horrified by that.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. This is actually, you're murdering a small baby, the little, you know, developing embryo in the womb. And that is crazy that now, you know, when you go in the drugstore, I mean, you see right on the shelf there, you know, if you're waiting for a prescription or something, oh, you know, here you have these abortion pills. That is completely unacceptable. And by the way, why is our state even allowing that? Can our state, like, outlaw that?
I mean, it's something we should talk to our, you know, our political officials about. But I will say this, you know, as an adolescent, if we look at it through the eyes of an adolescent, it's been reinforced to them that they can get this pill, take this pill. When you first conceive a child, you don't have physiological changes yet. So you've now normalized something that this person thinks that they're not going to have any repercussions for. You've made it so it is without any kind of negative impact. And that's what's been kind of brainwashed into our youth. It has been hammered into their mind that this is, it's no big deal. I can, just like I'd go take an Advil or a Tylenol, I'll go take a Plan B. And that is, that has serious repercussions. And I'm sure we can look up the statistics to see how it impacts, you know, the hormones and the body of young women who have unfortunately taken this route unknowingly. You know, and also what kind of impact that has on their minds, you know, their guilt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Libby Emmons, a previous guest, was saying that there's now 1 million abortions every year, and it's increasing. And no doubt it's increasing, especially because of the ease of getting these abortion pills.
All I can say is this is, you know, I am pro-life, obviously, and I think this was a huge revelation with my own pregnancy because, as you know, I was diagnosed with a very serious illness, and when it came to the specialist saying, ma'am, it's going to be either your life or your unborn child's life, and you already have, you know, two children at home, and I can't be your physician, the liability, it just outweighs anything, we need to get a DNC done. And I absolutely refused. I refused because once I conceived my daughter, there was no ifs, ands, or buts whether I was a mother. Once that conception occurred, the responsibility of my motherhood began, period. There was no gray area.
Right.
And we're really dehumanizing ourselves by teaching our youth something different. You know, you get pregnant, that child is your responsibility for the rest of their lives, for the rest of your life. It is your responsibility to sacrifice for that child, to do what's best for that child. And that's what I chose to do. Now, I finally found a physician that would agree to be my physician, but had to go out of state. That's another issue we have with West Virginia. Had to go all the way to Fair Oaks, Virginia, just to find a physician that was willing to with the high risk. But that's the point, is that a true mother won't stop trying. A mother who realizes that this is a responsibility, who's dedicated, will end at, and stop at nothing to ensure the life of that child. And when we have reduced a fetus to being a name of a fetus instead of a child, we're doing that child a disservice. We are removing the connection. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's not a baby. It's a fetus. No.
So do you think one of the factors is that parents are asleep at the wheel, so to speak? I mean, like, ultimately, shouldn't parents be talking to their children about this? So they would have a little more circumspection or thinking about it more deeply?
Oh, absolutely. I was asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I had drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I there was a time where even though I had chose for myself
mm-hmm.
to be pro-life, I had, you know, drank the Kool-Aid with, well, what about rape and incest? You know, what about these circumstances? Well, I am a sexual abuse survivor, and I can tell you I don't believe in abortion. But it had gotten drilled into my mind that I was somehow less supportive of women if I spoke my true opinion.
Mm.
If I spoke my heart and said, no, I don't agree with that. In fact, there were certain times where I'd almost get defensive because I had been fed this narrative over and over again, and I was somehow doing the people that I cared about wrong who had survived these horrific experiences by saying, well, it's something I would never choose for myself. Well, that's really the only way we have to gauge things with our morals, right? Is that something I would choose? If I was in that position, is that something I would choose to do? Because mm-hmm. I know the strength of my own moral fortitude, right? And
yeah.
I can tell you emphatically, it was the choice I chose to make was pro-life.
Amen. Yeah.
And I would do it again 100 times over.
Yeah. So my premise, or the premise that I put forward, is that we can make a generational change by, you know, educating our young people, our children, the youth, that they should abstain before marriage. And I believe strongly that every child should have this choice. Ideally, that would be the type of education that's provided in venues such as a school. But even if it's not, it at least should be clearly given as a choice for the students. So to me, it's a type of abuse that they don't get a full understanding about this. And of course, it should start with the parents, but the schools also should give this a full benefit to students. So for the many, many good reasons to abstain from sex before marriage, and in fact, that should be the norm, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. We have to counterbalance that what our children are spoon-fed every single mm-hmm. day, from social media to music to movies to school to peers, okay? Every day, premarital sex and hazardous sex is promoted. It's promoted. It's expected. It's an expected behavior. Oh, everybody's going to have sex. Everybody has sex. Everybody does it. Well, that's not, you're not supposed to just take part in sex unless you're with somebody you love. That,
right.
That's just a small act of a tiny gratification that has severe consequences versus an act of pure soul connection and love when it's your forever partner. There is not even a comparison between the two. There's no comparison. And then if we don't have avenues to counterbalance these false narratives, then, you know, what we're doing is we're just continuing to force this, and it's grooming. It's really a way of grooming our children. You know, I turn on the radio and I can hear music that talks about just overt sex. Doesn't matter. And it means nothing. It's all about objectifying instead of respecting and caring for. It's not about love at all. You know, this will deteriorate the mind of a youth. You know, let's be honest. It teaches them how to subjugate themselves and to dehumanize their peers. It can creates a complete imbalance of their structure. Okay? Then they can watch a movie where, you know, so many times now you see that it's expected for there to be this overt sexuality and somewhat even pornographic. And then this imagery stays in the child's subconscious mind.
It right.
does. And we can say, oh, it's R-rated or PG-rated, but we understand that as adults that we have gone over these lines so far in all of the consumption of media that's been occurring that there is no other option but to impact in some way, which then you have the parents, and most parents are working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paying their mortgages, you know, volunteering at schools, doing after school programs. And then at the child's school, they're being taught sexual education programs that are nailing home the fact that everybody's going to have sex. This is how you do it safely, not this is how you avoid doing it until you're in love. We know that approach doesn't work because we can see the staggering statistics.
Right. And yeah, so I think this needs a lot more emphasis, meaning the, you know, the core of what we should be teaching about sexuality and about, you know, abstinence-centered education. And actually, I got a newsletter from the organization that produces our relationship intelligence program we use, and he actually translated, I don't speak Spanish, and also I didn't watch it, I saw a clip of it, the Super Bowl halftime show. Well, out of the five songs, four of them are about, you know, effing the so-and-sos. And, you know, I mean, it was really, and to think, and of course, you know, all of the, you know, basically horror-like dancing or whatever you want to call it, this is just kind of emblematic of what society has sunk to as far as, you know, sexuality, that, you know, we need to see it in light of, well, first of all, there's a lot of good reasons to abstain from sex. But also, ultimately, you know, in light of the purpose of creation, you know, that's the most sacred thing God created. Or what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's about dehumanizing. And the whole purpose of dehumanizing is to demoralize. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. To dehumanize is to demoralize. And it's to really break down your own self-value, to reduce you to an act of momentary gratification over an investment into love and relationship. Mm-hmm. It's to groom our children to expect that. And we also know that the rates of suicide go up dramatically high with children who are sexually active when they're in school, especially, instead of abstaining. Because it impacts, you're making a physical and chemical bond with another human being. That's mm-hmm. what happens when you're intimate with somebody. And we don't understand that if we're not taught that. My God, I didn't fully understand that concept until I was older. You know, it's up to us parents, adults, to reinforce that with children. You know, to teach them that their value is rated way higher than any moment of gratification, any curiosity, and any pressure from a peer, any pressure from society. You know, that they're valued above that, that they're the center of our world.
Amen, amen. Amen. Yes. So, yeah, and also with, I mean, it's to me like thinking about this is like such a core issue. I think it needs a lot more emphasis, because if you look at, you know, all the situations in society, and now the Epstein thing has come onto the, you know, what do you say, radar even more. So, yeah, I mean, so people talk about people should be prosecuted for, you know, a child sexual abuse. And even it's kind of, it is outrageous that even these things were going on and then people don't want to talk about them or acknowledge them or, you know, try to act like they're not happening, when obviously there are, you know, very aberrant things happening. This all needs to come out. And then how do we protect our children? So they need education, knowing, like we say in, like, we have a, how do you say, a resolution for the school, which I'd like to see adopted here in Jefferson County, where, you know, you state specifically the education we're going to give for the youth is, you know, to teach them, like, no one should, for little kids, no one should touch them in the area covered by their bathing suit, or older kids, you know, no one should touch their sexual organ, and that, you know, their teaching about sexual abstinence is part of developing their, like, agency and their own responsibility and those kind of things, versus, you know, pushing all these other ideas on them, you know, like everything from, you know, same-sex attraction to transgenderism to all the confusion. On one of the statistics, actually, I need to add that slide, is that 30% of girls now say they're like something other than female. Not just one or two, 30%. Is that crazy or what?
I have not even heard of that statistic.
Yeah, I should have put that up. I'll add that to my slide deck. But yeah, so that same survey.
Well, let's be honest. Yeah. We just saw the Epstein drop, and we saw where the narrative was to over-sexualize youth and change their perspective of gender assignment and transgenderism. And that's just a fact. The fact is that this was a narrative that was pushed upon the people by some very powerful people throughout Hollywood and political circles, business mm-hmm. circles, and it was done with intent. And again, it is for objectification. That is what it's for. And then it branches out into other fields of corruption because, you know, you can't live the rest of your life. Nobody should want to live the rest of their life on consistent medications. We know medications harm our body. We know that they have an impact. Nobody should want to be on medications for the rest of their life. And what we do is, sadly, is when somebody is spewing a narrative, they remove the negative connotation out of that narrative. So as if, oh, well, you know, this is acceptable. This is just, you know, it's no big deal. It's normalized. And we see this repeat over and over and over and over again. And nobody is understanding the consequences of actions. And I have seen time and time again, I don't believe any child should have the choice to change their physiological body, not for plastic surgery, not for gender reassignment, and certainly not to be take some kind of medication to prevent them from menstruating or whatever. That to me is mind-blowing. They don't have the ability to drink an alcoholic beverage, but they should have the ability to change their body for potentially the rest of their lives. They can't get a tattoo till they're 18. They can't get a face piercing. Right. But so I'm confused by that. To me, every parent should be repulsed by that. No matter what political ideology you have, you should be asking the why. Ask the why is the question, not, oh, but, you know, this is what's socially acceptable or politically correct. I don't care about any of that. We're talking about children who are completely susceptible to any of this kind of nonsense, and they don't have they're not developed enough to be able to make those kind of life impacting mm-hmm. decisions.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why they're being targeted. Do you remember when the cigarette companies used to target children to sell their products?
I don't remember. So but I do know that.
Back in
yeah,
the
80s, I do know that a lot of, yeah, that's right.
Back in the 80s.
When I was in high school, a lot of people were still smoking. That's true.
Back in the 80s, the tobacco companies did huge campaigns to target the youth. They would give us free, all kinds of free stuff, wraps, t-shirts, sweatshirts, toys, all kinds of stuff, because the imagery would repeat in our head. And when we got older, we would think it was cool. We would associate that with a positive emotional response and go to that brand of cigarettes. When I was a child, I got a whole bunch of Camel cigarette stuff. And as I got to my mid-youth, and I started seeing everybody smoking, the very first pack of cigarettes that I went and got myself was a pack of Camel cigarettes. So it was effective. It was effective. And I think because of that effectiveness, that is kind of the same narrative that's being pushed with gender bending and poisoning our children's minds. And let's be honest, that's what's happening here. You can't, I had no idea the level of forever when I was 14 years old. To me, life was, you know, you make haphazard decisions because life is in this short block of time and you are without consequences because you have people to protect you or not protect you, right? You either had consequences or no consequences at all, right? Oh, and you just didn't see the future like you do as an adult because your brain didn't process it this way. And anybody that promotes a child being able to alter their body without understanding that the totality of that impact, that is just insane to me. No doctor should be supporting that. No educator should be supporting that. No adult should be supporting that. Okay. Now, a bunch of children, well, they don't understand the consequences, but no adult should be supporting that behavior because we understand the impact of it. Whether it's political, take politics out of it. This is about physiological well-being, mental well-being, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So I think You know, I was thinking about, as you're talking, more like what should parents do? Well, one practical thing, first of all, is give your youth, your children, the expectation that you expect them to abstain until marriage. Hello, that's the first step. Not all parents are on the ball with that, you know, to say the least. And
well, no, I think they've been reactionary instead of proactive,
mm-hmm.
because there was a huge campaign that was done in the 90s and 2000s that you were a bad parent if you weren't teaching your children about protection, birth control, all of this. Now, luckily, I personally didn't agree with that. So I didn't teach about that because mm-hmm. birth control alters your body. It changes your hormones. We know it causes cancer and all kinds
right.
of other things. And there, instead, I taught my children on my own experience, which was I wish I had abstained until I was, you know, much older, married in a dedicated, you know, permanent relationship. And I didn't do that. And it was
right.
one of the biggest mistakes. There was nothing positive about it. And I would again guarantee you, if we spoke to, you know, 90% of American society, they would agree with that.
Yeah, no, you know? That's what parents tell me all the time.
Yeah.
And that they don't, that's why I say parents, you know, regardless of whatever happened in your own life, you know, maybe you need a moment of truth at some point with your children, but, you know, you should tell them that you expect them to abstain before marriage, and then that's the best thing for them, because how else are we going to break this generational cycle?
And they can never get that part of themselves back. That's what I reminded my children is, once you submit to that, you can never get it back.
That's right.
You will be impacted. There won't be a time in your life 60, 70 years from now that you won't remember and regret if you don't abstain. Now, I was lucky that my children all abstained throughout school. I was lucky throughout high school, you know? So that being said, I mean, it was a constant involvement and reinforcement.
Right.
And that is what it took, was a constant reminding my children of their self-value and worth, reminding them that no matter what the trend is, they are the trendsetter.
Mm.
No matter what the trend is, they are the trendsetters.
Yeah,
because nobody can make you do anything. You have to set, you can set your own trend. A trend just means following behind. Don't be the sheep. You know,
yeah, being different is good. If so-called everybody's having sex, which, by the way, is not true, the majority of, we did give the 6 in 10 statistic, but anyway, over high school, the majority of youth are abstaining, although that is very concern for the 12th graders, then, you know, you have to set the trend. You have to be different. And then with our program, like Urban Life Training, through having clubs and peer counseling, we encourage the youth to follow that path. And so what as a parent you can do, you could head over to our website, urbanlifetraining.org, and you could sign up for our newsletter. And we have a lot of materials there you can use and testimonies you can take advantage of. So that would be a good positive step, things that you could share, you know, with your young people or your children, as well as encouraging your local board of education to adopt the Resolution for Character and Absence-Centered Education.
I mean, who doesn't want their child to have reinforced within them their own self-value and worth, to not be pulled in any other direction but their own best interest, to keep themselves protected, right?
That's right. And that's what everybody else should be looking out for. But that's not happening in many cases, although, of course, there are many good teachers and things. But
yes,
there's other trends and things happening, as we well know, like we've had the disturbing trends that I've covered, you know, of the different half a dozen sexual predators in our schools over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, repeating again and again. So why is this happening? It seems to be related to the fact that we're partially or definitely related that we're not teaching what we should be emphasizing, you know, in the home first, but then in the school.
And in demanding action when there's some kind of malfeasance. I mean, these statistics don't even touch on college students either.
Right.
You know, you have a child that's worked their whole educational career to go to college, to, you know, study their passion, to pursue their future. And a lot of times it's reinforced that college is to get high, get drunk, and let's be honest, get laid. I mean, and that's a true statement. And that was reinforced over and over and over again in just about every kind of media outlet there is, from movies, music, TV, social media. And like, you are, like, something's wrong, objectively wrong with you. You're a dork or a nerd or unaccepted if you don't follow these guidelines. And right. We have to be able to counterbalance that, because if we look statistically at how many of our youth drop out of their higher education process because of pregnancy, because of, you know, partying instead of focusing, instead of really holding their feet to the fire mm-hmm. to achieve their goals. And again, we have to, you know, this comes from not just a lack of communication parentally, but also with peer pressure with fellow students and the, you know, our youth understanding, listen, this is important. Again, your value is beyond what you can trade in that moment. Your value lasts your lifetime. You know?
Yeah, very much so. So yeah, I would encourage parents, you can, we're here in Jefferson County, West Virginia. So if you're in this area, definitely request your school to ask for our program. And also we have a chapter model where parents can form a chapter of the Urban Life Training. Also, this is applicable for college students, can form a chapter on their local campus. So you can do that. You can find more information at urbanlifetraining.org. Those are some action steps, you know, you can take. Because I think with this whole Epstein thing, we need to go beyond that and just saying that it's just sensationalized sexual abuse, but go beyond it to the generational change part, where through education we can help our youth. Because I mean, I was looking into more even before the recent dump and everything. I was kind of scratching my head, and now it's coming out more and more, in the sense that there's been this cover up even by our current leaders, like, you know, Pam Bondi, or I know I like President Trump a lot, but he didn't want to release the files. So the point I'm getting to is that, you know, there wasn't clear transparency on these issues. And, you know, how did we get to a point where these high school girls were recruited, like in Palm Beach County, well, the county where Palm Beach is in Florida. And then Epstein got a slap on the wrist for that. And nobody else has ever been prosecuted. And our FBI and Justice Department don't apparently want to look into it, and they still haven't done anything. So what kind of message is this sending? Like, it's okay, we can just have these things going on?
Well, I don't think so. Think about, like I was saying earlier about some of the emails that were dumped, there was emails that very specifically touched on the fact of turning these young people into sexual objects. You know, and from the email, it was turning transgender boys. So having a woman who has a penis to be able to sexually gratify both sides of sexual preference, which to me is so it's literally a piece of meat, a toy. Now, wow. I don't know about you, but I want to be known for my heart, my soul, and my mind. Right. Not as some toy to be discarded after some old monster uses me. I mean, we have to be more discerning than this. It's offensive and disgusting, but it's right there in the emails. You know, we have to pay attention.
Yeah, and I think we do need to look at it. So I do want to point out, our program is secular, and there's plenty of good reasons to teach about sexual abstinence, you know, physical, emotional, intellectual, social, spiritual. But ultimately, God has created us as male and female, and the most core thing we can do is, you know, have our love, which requires a male and a female, and life, and our, you know, procreate, have a lineage. And that, by this kind of sexualization and just deviance, is made impossible. So it really is an evil thing. And it's not just like any other crime, because it's kind of it is the core issue. And when we talk about half of children now, nationally 40%+, or here in West Virginia, 50%, being born outside of marriage, that's really what's driving our society to fall apart. And really, you could say maybe we passed the point of no return on that. I hope not, but we need to make this generational change, or else how are we going to have healthy families, healthy societies, healthy marriages? And that's really what we're looking at with unionstation.love, is a more purpose-centered and God-centered way of, you know, if you want to get married, then abstain, and then have a purposeful and purpose-centered process of education, you know, and then enter into your, you know, blessed marriage like that, and it's going to be more successful.
Right. Yeah, it's not seeking lust. It's seeking partnership and love. And
there you go.
There's a huge difference of that. And I think that's also part of the problem, is there's so many people now who the ego and choices have gotten so big that we've kind of removed God out of the equation. God is never out of the equation. Okay? Humans are not God. Humans are human.
Right.
You know? So when we try to place ourselves because someone has the lack of nourishing their connection with God, when we place ourselves there as a God, as if we have no repercussions, then we tend to act out just like a child would act out, right? If your parents never give you repercussions, you're going to act out because you think that you're never going to be held accountable. And that's kind of what's happened to society at this point. There are so many people that believe that their money, power, influence affords them a complete overlook of accountability. And that's never the case, because they forgot that God is the ultimate authority.
Yeah.
God is the ultimate authority.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say, and as we're coming to the conclusion of our show today, that, yeah, I think we need to look at the educational part of it, like we've been saying, really protect our youth and think what's best for children first. And also, I am very much for overturning the Obergefell decision that gave a right to same-sex marriage. That's crazy, you know, and then so-called same-sex marriage, but and this upholding the standard of, you know, the male-female family as a model, and teaching our children what's best for them, which is, you know, to respect that sexuality and the very purpose of it that we are given by the Creator, and then to move in the right direction. And like we're saying too, that, you know, there are many reasons that aren't religious, but it certainly aligns with the purpose that God gave us too.
Yep. Well, I definitely support the fact that we should all, you know, cultivate our relationship with God, always seek God above all else. And when we share our bodies and minds and souls with people that aren't worthy of that, then we lose a part of ourselves that connects with God. And I don't want that for anybody. I used to be that person. And, you know, I used to not understand how important my relationship with God was. And then I realized, and nobody can take the place of my relationship with God. Nobody.
Amen.
Amen.
You are worth the wait. So there you go. And do check out, again, urbanlifetraining.org and unionstation.love. We're so happy tomorrow you could join us today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Your heart, for being the new chapter director here at Urban Life Training in Jefferson County. We look forward to lots of progress and lots of education and great things happening. Thanks for joining. God bless you. And we will see you next time.